Hey everyone, this is Toots, and before we get to the live show that Jamie and I recorded on Saturday, March 17th, St. Patty's Day, I just wanted to point out that we did lose the first 20 to 25 minutes of the show. Basically, in the beginning of the show, we had a killer intro, and it killed. Trust me, the audience was on the floor. Just trust me, I know you won't be able to hear it, but trust me. And also, we did a Equus review. The show is going to start off with a theory contest, halfway through a theory contest that we were doing during this live show. Apologies to everyone for the sound quality in some parts. It is a little bad because the audience did not have a microphone. We did really enjoy recording this event, however, and we hope everyone else enjoys it as well, and we'll definitely consider doing several more of these live events, MuggleCast-only live shows in the future. So here it is now. We're going to start off 25 minutes into the show with halfway through the theory contest, and big thanks goes out to everyone who attended that day, and Olivons at Olivons.com. They make some great wands, and they provided us with some great prizes for the event. So here's the show now. Enjoy.
Thanks, Carson.
Good. Good. This guy right here.
And you
yeah. See your name, where you come from. Nice t-shirt,
yeah.
By the way.
Oh,
I like it.
I'm Dale from Canada. Original. Okay, anybody who doesn't want Harry to die might not want to listen to my theory.
Who doesn't want Harry to die?
Doesn't want Harry.
Okay,
I'm going to go now.
Okay, a little while ago I heard a theory that if you do something so selfless for somebody that and you end up dying, that perhaps part of your soul or your soul could be transferred into them. And the theory was this is how Harry got the green eyes, and this is how his love protection works. I was thinking that perhaps in the seventh book, Harry will end up sacrificing himself for Ginny or Hermione or Ron or somebody in the trio, and his soul will get transferred to Voldemort, and the love in it will destroy him, and that's how love will destroy Voldemort.
I couldn't help picturing there a kind of, for those of you who have seen The Matrix, I couldn't help picturing Agent Smith flying into Voldemort. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I remember talking about this on a recent show too, that ultimately love is what's going to kill Voldemort. Harry's love,
yeah.
Lily's love. And,
could we just have a collective,
me and you were sort of debating this on the train yesterday, whether or not to discuss whether Harry should live or die, because we sort of have contrasting opinions. I went into a little rant on a recent show too, just about Harry, and Ben seconded this. I think that Harry has gotten away with he's won all of his battles, and he keeps just narrowly escaping death. And it sounds terrible, but I agree with that kid. It's either going to be love, or he's just going to get on the game the seventh time.
He can't live. It's pointless debating this.
Why?
He's going to live.
Tell me why Harry should live, though.
Well, no, because shouldn't we say that? Because we have a debate coming out where we're going to have.
Okay. Oh, I completely forgot about that. Actually. So. Yeah. All right. So that's
two more theories to come now. First,
you and then you, Superman.
Okay. Yasmin, and I'm from Cornwall, and this is kind of a weird theory, but I really want to learn. So. there's this big thing going on about the mirror that Sirius gave Harry, and okay, it's going to sound totally unrelated, but I will mix it in the end. But when Snape eventually kills Dumbledore at the end of the sixth book, you hear Dumbledore pleading, and a lot of people just reading that think, you know, he's begging Severus not to kill him, but really I think it's the opposite. He's asking Severus to kill him because there's a link within his death to help Harry. But I was reading up on the next film that they're making, and from the information there, and from the information from J.K. Rowling, it turns out that Dumbledore's brother, Aberforth, is actually the landlord of the Hog's Head. So, and in like the sixth book, you see Mundungus selling some things that he stole from Grimmauld Place to Aberforth, and I think that while Sirius wouldn't have left the mirror like hidden somewhere, would he, to contact Harry, would have left it out on display. So I reckon that Mundungus has probably stolen that and then sold it to Aberforth. And through Dumbledore, I think he must have realised somehow that, well, he's done his deed, he's kind of killed Grindelwald and done that kind of bit. But he's never really said that much about his brother, apart from he kind of went on this different path and kind of went away. And the name Aberforth does actually mean to just wander off. So I reckon he kind of knew that he was trying to make some kind of connection between Harry too. His brother, via the mirror that Sirius gave him to kind of help to get Aberforth to help Harry to kill Voldemort, if that made any sense to you.
So. I just want to say real quick about that. Aberforth, I think, I cannot wait to see Aberforth in Book 7, because I really think he's going to give some sort of guidance to Harry, whether it involves just giving him some encouragement, saying, Dumbledore wants you to do this.
Or goats, because he's famous.
Okay,
my name's Michael, I'm from London. I don't know how I'm going to compete with that one, or that one. But basically, mine's with the Locket Horcrux. Basically, it's how it was kind of, it could be possibly linked with Sirius Black's brother, Regulus, maybe taking the locket. And in Book 5, as we know, J.K. Rowling loves to put little tasters in for us to, like, then reflect back and be like, how did we not see that? Well, basically, when they're cleaning out Grimmauld Place in the fifth book, Harry notices this locket that's actually in the cabinet when they're throwing stuff away. And I just think that's something so J.K. Rowling, to suddenly she's going to pull it back out. And it makes, that'd be the link with Sirius's brother actually taking the locket, it being in Grimmauld Place and bringing Grimmauld Place back into the story for the final book, for the final chapter.
Ah, very good.
I'd say no vote on it. I can't actually remember.
What? So who did the first one?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, she did the first one.
Yeah, that's short. Don't vote me.
Don't vote for him. All right.
Then,
she came second.
And then 3, 4, and 5. So we have a vote for the first theory, which was.
It's like.
It was really, very
good. Oh, by the way, only clap for one.
Yeah.
That's your favorite one. Okay. So what was yours, real quick? Summarize.
That someone else
did Horcrux. Okay. Okay. Applause for that.
Applause for that one.
Oh. Everyone who did a theory gets a shirt anyway, so.
Yeah.
I liked it. I liked it. Yeah. This guy,
so,
Harry.
Yeah.
Do you want to summarize it quickly?
Yeah, Harry will sacrifice himself and his soul, get transferred to Voldemort, and the love will kill Voldemort.
Oh, the, Agent Smith theory.
Yeah. Yeah. And then.
Mr. Anderson.
Then who was. Sorry, who was next?
That's the theory of Dumbledore, like, wanting to kill himself, and then the mirror that Sirius gave Harry, leading Harry to have a stop and kill Voldemort.
Tell us about. And finally,
the locket being a marvellous J.K. Rowling insertion into the fifth book, which will arise in the last 10 minutes. Make us feel mad.
That was beautiful.
I think that's clever.
Tell us about that one. I think the overwhelming winner over there.
Should I come up?
Can you come
up here? Everyone else, you guys can come up and get your pieces. By the way, it was a trick. There's nothing in the box.
Yeah. Oh, just a box. We've taken the wand, though.
We should plug Ollivant's. I mean, they are a great wand company.
Yeah.
Tell us the properties of the wand.
Sorry?
Oh, it's, there's a different one for each. That's,
yeah, there's a
that's probably,
so.
Yeah. Oops.
We didn't pay for that.
Yeah, we didn't see that.
Wow.
You can just leave it down. What kind of wand is it? Right at the top.
Poly and ebony, 12 and a half inches.
There you go.
Nice.
There's, they're all different, so every time someone wins one, we'll open it up as a surprise.
Ooh.
What's coming next?
All right, so, oh yeah, and by the way, everyone else who gave a theory, you can come up and pick
a
shirt. We got tons of shirts. Actually, these are all leftovers because WWE won't let us sell them anymore. So I had 4 boxes of t-shirts mailed to me. This isn't even...
Yeah, it's like a tenth of them.
Yeah, and I could honestly open up a store in my house with the amount of Mongo Kids t-shirts. So, by the way, a lot of fun carrying that on the underground.
Yeah.
But anyway,
they want to think about it.
So yesterday, Jamie and I went to Electronic Arts here in the UK to check out the Harry Potter video game.
Yeah.
We had an awesome time. We spent a few hours there yesterday. They have a brand new facility. Where is it? Guildford, yeah.
And it's amazing. It's sort of glass, you know, building with almost glass floors and elevators. They're very, very cool.
Brand new, very, very high tech. When you go into the lobby, there's video games there. We were playing the God of Fire one.
Wii and a PS3 and all these games on it.
So then the representative who works with NVIDIA, like the fan sites and EA, She came and picked us up at the lobby, took us upstairs, and she said, wait, so the doors open up. The whole floor is Harry Potter based.
It's like they have a floor for each game. Mm-hmm. So you'll have like, I mean, I can't name any other games, but
I was
like, they're like a floor, and then we got up, and you go out, and there's a huge gold-plated Harry Potter sign, and then there's like a Diagon Alley thing. And
with a Sirius, there's a Sirius one in poster, a hologram,
cool.
So like you would look at it, you would see Sirius, and then move a little to the left, and he wasn't there.
Yeah,
very cool. But it's amazing because there's 120 people all on this one floor working on the Harry Potter video game. So it's an amazing team of people who are dedicated.
And they really are. They're fans as well. You know, they aren't just programmers who work on the game. They're fans as well. And, I mean, we can't say that much, but they told us all this, you know, all the work that's gone into it. And the game looks absolutely unbelievable.
Amazing.
I mean, it really does. I mean, I haven't played many other games before. I don't know if anyone else has. But
who has played the Harry Potter video games and are a fan of them? They're good, right? You guys like them?
But this just blows everything else away. It's just like a world, this thing. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Even if you're not a video game fan, I honestly think that anyone's going to like this video game because you can go through all of Hogwarts everywhere.
Yeah.
And in the beginning, I think it is, they have a big pan through to show all the grounds and everything. It's amazing.
It's very, very cool.
The PS3 version, I mean, you know, that's a very powerful game system. The graphics are unbelievable.
It's very cool.
It's just a beautiful game.
You have a question?
Yeah, can you tell us something about the Wii version?
Unbelievable for what it's going to be.
We haven't actually played it, but they're very excited for it. I mean, the Wii, for everyone who doesn't know, it's
everyone
the
knows what a Wii is.
Does everyone know?
Yeah.
All right, well, sorry.
He thinks we British people are so far behind.
Sorry. By the way, is there any Americans here to support me in this little world? Okay.
I lived there for 4 years.
Cool. So yeah, the Wii version they're very excited about because you have the remote control and you're going to be doing spells with them. So, you know, Wingardium Leviosa and stuff like that. I think there's going to be like 12. When we had them on MuggleCast for an interview about 2 or 3 months ago, and we talked with the two guys who we met yesterday, they're very excited about it. And the one guy, Matt, is a huge Harry Potter fan, so you know that the game is going to be... Like,
it really is.
There's so many insight in the game. It's actually unbelievable how good this game is going to be. It's just great.
Should we go on to our debate now?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to have a should Harry die in the final book. We're going to pick three people, one for the for Harry should die, and one for the against Harry should die, and the winning team gets a wand each.
Okay.
So, who wants
one
to
each.
Argue for? Yeah, it's okay. Just
three wands. I get it now. Okay. Sorry.
He's had a long trip. So, who wants to argue for should Harry die? Yeah.
Of course, you got to go.
Yeah.
Do we have three right there?
Yeah.
Alright, so you guys have all seen how the debate setting works on MuggleCast, and it's usually Ben's thing, but we didn't talk about
Ben's
this. Thing, Usually he'll run into all the technical terms. So yeah, you guys can come up, and how are we going to do this?
Three on that side, and you get 3 minutes each. A minute each to present your case, and then we'll have an audience clapping session again.
Yeah.
We like those now. They're good.
Yeah, they're fun.
So who's arguing for should Harry die? Or rather, Harry should die. Okay. But if you win, you're getting a scarf or something.
Yeah, you don't get another one. But there's a third.
Shouldn't? Okay, yeah. Who's arguing for shouldn't?
Shouldn't.
And shouldn't.
We'll get everyone. Everyone's going to have a chance to participate.
Yeah, we're going to open it up to the audience afterwards.
Yes.
Okay, so do you want like a couple of minutes to think about it?
Yeah, we need to hug up.
Okay.
Group
hug.
Okay.
Group hug, so
get your
to know everyone. So basically, we'll just go over the rules while we're...
Okay, yeah. Basically, each team gets 3 minutes to talk about, to put forward their case. Then we open up to the audience. You can then grill them and ask as many questions as you want. So yeah, really be mean. And,
on the show, usually Ben goes into technical terms. I don't understand that.
He thinks because he does this debate thing that, you know, he's amazing.
Yeah. How much time are we giving?
Another minute or something?
Who here is from... How many people actually live here in England?
Machine gun.
Oh, wow. What's your weirdest locations? Or furthest? What's that?
Well,
you're
not going to know
what that is, are you? No, just name your country. Is that Canada? That's some people are from Canada? Canada?
Yeah. That's quite a while.
Visit for breakfast? Where do you come from? Don't say yes. Okay.
Okay, should we,
Yeah. Alright, you guys ready to start?
Yeah, sure. I'm not doubting myself.
Alright, so...
You give them the mic.
Yeah. Okay. So what you're gonna do? You're gonna have 2 minutes.
Three.
3 minutes. For your case. Here, come on up over to the side.
3 minutes.
Yeah, then we'll
3 minutes max. If you want to
minutes.
All right.
Okay.
So you got it.
One, ready.
Two.
Can watch
on three and go.
Okay. Harry has to die.
Good on.
Because we have the theory.
Yeah, my theory. Best theory. Harry has to die. Okay.
Oh man, what was your thing? Okay, from just like a standpoint of people copying J.K. Rowling's books and stuff, Harry has to die because then there would be sequels and then those wouldn't be as good as the original. And we just need. And what bigger way can the series end than Harry killing Voldemort? I mean, he won't have a life after that. I mean, what is he going to do? Something boring? There's nothing. It's all exciting because we're always trying to kill Voldemort. But once Voldemort's dead.
What can he do?
Exactly.
Well, go to career finder. Okay, then no, because I think just be coming. No, I just think that obviously, like, one can't live while the other survives, and it just seems probability wise, as far as like even ones and trying to kill each other, it's going to be some kind of tussle in the mud, and there's going to be an awkward like slamming faces at the same time, death. Or, like, cause, you know, it's just too sad to think, really, that Harry's going to stay alive and we're not going to be able to see him living. I'd rather he just went and we could go, okay, it's fine.
You cry for a week.
Yeah.
And a half. Years.
Everybody dies.
Oh, Ivan. Scott.
Yeah.
Carry on. All
right.
Yeah.
You're probably, yeah, that was...
You got about 20 seconds.
Yeah.
20 seconds.
Oh, thanks, that's true. That's to me. I don't know, he has to kill Voldemort, obviously. I just think he should die, if only for everybody's sanity, and so that nobody passes Joe to write any more books.
Okay, thank you very much.
Good luck.
Now, how you should not die.
Okay, 3 minutes and go.
Go, right.
Okay, I'm going to go on like the idea of moral ethics and almost every good story, good triumphs over evil, so I'm just going to stick to those guidelines. Secondly, my idea for the name Deathly Hallows is that it's going to be fought on like All Hallows Eve or Halloween, like then that's the day Voldemort tried to kill Harry in the first place, so I reckon it's going to be a repeat, like a repeat of Destiny, so like, Harry will win again, I think. And as Andrew said, anyone who looks that good naked should deserve, like, deserve to live. That's my idea.
Basically, if Harry dies before he actually gets a chance to defeat Voldemort, then I think the Wizarding World is going to, like, die. Because he'd be, like, the only person to be able to kill them, and if he doesn't, then it's just gonna end up in ruins. Yeah, there'd be no one left to kill Voldemort. And if he defeats Voldemort, then he'd get what he always wanted, to lead a normal life. And I think it's better if Harry's happy rather than all the ex-Death Eater people.
1 minute.
Okay, I think Harry shouldn't die because the whole thing with J.K. Rowling, she's trying to say death isn't everything, like with Dumbledore, isn't it? The thing's more evil than death or whatever. And so I don't think he'll die, but he'll go and ask if I have a soul sucked out or something. We won't die. We'll live. Yeah.
How about that? What?
We got 20 seconds.
You should live.
If Harry dies, I will cry for years to come.
Okay, it's about done.
Would everyone cry if Harry did die?
Yeah.
It would depend on how it was presented.
Yeah.
Call me when we're here while we go back.
Yeah, yeah. If it just says the book and then it says, oh yeah, and he dies, yeah, then
yeah,
no one's crying.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you have some feedback? Alright.
Okay, should we have questions to that Harry should die?
Grill them. Feel free to grill them.
Yeah,
grill us.
Over there? You scratching your hair, are you? sorry. Okay, go on.
Harry dies, then Voldemort will still live, and then people will still try and make sequels. Voldemort killing people and then trying to get back.
Oh, I'm not saying that he like Voldemort, you know, Harry, if Harry dies then that means Voldemort lives. I'm just saying, like, Harry, maybe because, like, JK says, you know, there's, like, nothing worse than whatever, but death isn't the final thing. I think Harry can then go do something that Voldemort will never expect, which is kill himself to kill Voldemort. So Voldemort will die, but Harry will have to die to kill him.
Yeah, we're saying,
like,
so it'll sacrifice. Exactly.
Yeah.
Just because Harry dies doesn't mean Voldemort doesn't.
Yes,
die.
Exactly. I do think Voldemort will definitely die, but Harry will also cart it to him.
Okay, thank you. Question over there.
Well, it's like people are talking about a similarity between Agatha Christie's Poirot and Harry. Like, she killed off Poirot so she wouldn't actually have to write any books about him, and so she wouldn't have to, they wouldn't be able to because he was dead. But then you think about Sherlock Holmes, and he killed off Sherlock Holmes so that he wouldn't be able to come back. In the ultimate showdown between good and evil, Sherlock Holmes is Moriarty. But then he brought back Sherlock Holmes. So I just don't think it's going to work. I also just don't want to have to
That's excellent.
Okay, so he's one more question over here.
But because J.K. Rowling is writing children's book,
there's been no Syria.
She never said
there's
that
been
it was
no
a children's
death.
Book.
Yeah, and there's definitely been
she
death.
She never
yeah.
said she was writing it for children or for adults. She said she was just writing it. So, good can win as easily as evil.
Any other questions?
Well, can I just say,
okay.
I think everybody, it's too caught up on what they think from J.K. Rowling's perspective. And I just think, I mean, we're Harry Potter fans, this is the Harry Potter world, okay? Think of it as if it's real. Why won't he live, or why will he live? But looking through the book, not in what J.K. Rowling says or whatever. Because she said, like, with regards to the prophecy, she said that no, that she worded the prophecy very well. And there was a time, I don't know, maybe it's old enough, but she said that no one had actually picked up on exactly what the prophecy meant. And I still
yeah.
think that no one has completely clicked it. Because how do we know that that's exactly what the prophecy means? It seems too straightforward for me. And I just think that everybody keeps talking about, yeah, he's not going to die because of this with J.K. Rowling, because how can she kill off her main character? But, I mean, you can't think of it like that. You have to think of the book and the themes of the book and what's happening in the book and in the Wizarding World.
There's only four options, isn't there? It's like, they both live, they both die, one dies,
and
the other dies. There's only four options, so everyone's
they all live happily ever after.
Yeah. Can we have the Voldemort suddenly gets like,
no,
yeah,
he
turns
an epiphany. I've been really mean, actually.
Let's start, growing this side now.
Yeah. Any questions for me that Harry should not die?
Can I have a couple?
Okay, yeah.
Well, I'm probably going to get food for this, but along the lines of Harry's and Horcrux theory, Harry says to Dumbledore in the office, so he put a bit of himself into me, and Dumbledore says, yes, he did. And that in a way, implies that it could be, I'm not saying it is, but it's a theory that could be true, and if that was true, Harry would have to die. But also, we had Priori Incantatum in Book 4, and there's nothing to say that there couldn't be something like that, not necessarily Priori Incantatum, but something similar to it. That we don't know about yet that could happen between the two.
Ooh.
Which could result in both of them dying.
On that thing, I mean, I always wondered this, that if they can't fight with their wands, because as you say, prior incantation happens, what is going to happen? And it has to come down to love, that, you know, she says Harry's going to kill him with love, but...
Immortal death would be the ultimate insult to Voldemort.
Yeah.
Not be killed with the wand, to be killed...
Through something else,
way.
Yeah.
Because he hates being part of
Muggle.
I think Harry's only going to be able to kill off the Horcruxes, like to destroy them, and I think what something that would be quite ironic is if Voldemort got killed by Muggles, because I believe that the Muggles
drunk
dry and there's a flash in the seventh book, so if Muggles get like got pitchforked or something and started like chasing after Muggles, it'd be quite
with burning torches and stuff.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
Yeah, you said that it was like all good stories have an ending where good triumphs over evil. Wouldn't that be a bit typical that like the best story ever ends like every single other fairy tale? And also, like in real life, it's not like some little person who doesn't have any power just suddenly beats this super powerful person. So it would be a bit unrealistic and typical.
No, I think it'd be quite ironic, because here we all are thinking, no, she's not going to do that. She'll do something completely, like, off the record, something really new. I think it would be just something like her to do something that we're not expecting. So do the conventional rather than something out of the ordinary.
Head in the back there.
All the way to the book says death isn't the final thing. So they can have earned the right to be happy and peaceful at the end of the book with his parents, who he's always wanted to meet in the books. So if Harry dies, he'll have that final completion of being with his parents.
So long story short, dying's a good thing then.
We are all long stories.
Yeah,
that's true. I like that point. I like that.
Yeah.
And plus, whoever else dies in the final book, I don't know if you said that, but I mean, they'll be with Harry too.
Yeah.
They're all gonna die.
This guy right here.
What's he gonna do if he lives? He's gonna go away from Hogwarts. Is he just gonna go around with Ron and Hermione?
I think a good reply for that would be, what would Voldemort do if Harry dies? What would he do?
Kill more people.
I know, but no one wants to see that. Harry's a tragic hero character. I think the sort of life he'd live after beating Voldemort is just the sort of life he would live. It's like, he's never had a really good life when you think about it, so it'd suit it to carry on being an awkward life, I think.
Right to the back.
I think that one of the trio has to die, so wouldn't it be better for Harry's life? Because one of my Harry had such a hard life.
You
just want him to die.
Depressing.
Yeah. I'm not really sure what to say to that. He's had a hard life, so therefore he deserves to die. I'm sure there are a lot of people who wouldn't agree with that. I think he deserves to be happy, but you know.
Just needs to lie down.
Just take a break for a moment.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Can I just do this? I love making comparisons between, you know, different series and stuff like that. So the first person to make a Lord of the Rings comparison between this, should Harry die, and Lord of the Rings gets a free book. So come on now. For the bag, you were first.
Well, it could be like a Lord of the Rings thing, where he doesn't have to get killed by Voldemort. He survives, but he's scarred by the pain, so he has to, you know, metaphorically die. In some way,
well, like where Frodo not in the boat, Harry could just walk into the Vale.
Okay, you both have a book. That was very good. We have two more questions. Hello?
What's the sacrifice Harry has to make is giving up his wizard
rules
rather than dying?
Ooh, I like it.
Mm.
It was all a dream.
What happened to that? Isn't there a series where that happens? Somebody gives up their powers.
Labyrinth, she goes and they're all very lovely series.
Could be that. One more question in the back.
Did you have something you want to say?
I was going to say, book 7 can end with like a little house on the prairie kind of final. Harry with the kids and Jenny and the
I like it. Well, that's what the prologue's for. She said she's going to have a prologue, so.
Epilogue.
Huh?
Epilogue.
Epilogue, sorry. Again.
It has been a long time. Okay, should we take it to a vote?
Yeah.
All those in favour of that Harry should die? And all those that think Harry should not die? Sorry, guys.
So pick up your wands there.
Remember, everyone.
Why don't you
take a t-shirt?
Yeah.
Well.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
By the way, today's Mug and stickers are sponsored by Emerson Sparks. We can all give a round of applause for Emerson Manning,
who is currently with Ben touring the US, signing these books.
Yeah,
having a good time apparently.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, as we just mentioned, those tickets that you got at the beginning, those raffle tickets. Soon we're going to auction off this Triwizard Cup, which is very nice. And
yeah, from the Noble Collection.
Yeah,
WB sent it to me a couple back when we had to do a contest on MuggleNet, and
he forgot to mail it.
I forgot to mail it, and so
it's one
give it
fan somewhere around. He doesn't know where their Triwizard Cup is.
It's It's very heavy and a bit dangerous because it's very
sharp.
Yeah, it is
very sharp.
I was afraid this wasn't going to make it through the airport because that's like a weapon. But
yeah.
So what else do we want to talk about?
Well, I need to talk about the news. The promotional campaign that, is it Scholastic?
It's Scholastic.
Yeah, it's massive.
And they,
go on, sorry.
They, if you've been reading up on MuggleNet, I mean, one of the recent stories was that Scholastic announced their campaign to promote the book. Honestly, I don't think it needs to be promoted at all. They could tell people
really
don't buy it, and it'll still
sell.
But I think one of the big things is that they're having a 12 million copy initial print run on Deathly Hallows, and Harper Prince was a bit less.
10.8. So, I mean, it's really amazing. You know, they keep boosting it. Honestly, they could go for 20 million and sell every one of them.
What is this? Sorry. What is this? Seven questions of Harry Potter campaign.
Part of the campaign that they're doing, they're having some interesting techniques. Bloomsbury hasn't announced their plans, otherwise we'd be talking about them for you guys. But Scholastic is going to do seven questions, big questions, leading up to July 21st. I can't believe I just forgot the date. And it's an interesting way to gather hype, and I guess we'll be talking about them on the show. They're going to be releasing them, like, every other week. So,
yeah.
I mean, I guess the questions could just be, like, Snape good or bad, will Harry find the Horcrux or Steve?
Yeah. Sorry, again.
I don't really see the point, but okay.
Yeah. But the campaign starts April 17th, so we're wondering if we're going to have a cover by then, a UK cover and a US cover, and what's going
to
be on it.
I think we have to, because this is a very serious promotional campaign.
Yeah.
April 17th is not far off at all, and the manuscript has been finished. I'm sure Mary Grand Prix and who's the UK illustrator?
It changes.
Oh, changes. Oh, okay.
We need that.
Yeah. Just quizzing you. But, it's a shame it's not out now. It'd be great to
talk about it and,
you know, up on the projections screen and stuff.
But it is going to be exciting, and I think this completely underlines the entire Harry Potter summer thing. So we have a campaign running to the book, and have all the movie promotion stuff. So Harry Potter is where you should be this summer. Really should.
A summer to remember in the world.
It really is
a summer
to remember.
Is everyone excited that the book and movie are only 8 days apart?
Yeah, we should talk about this probably.
Excited, disappointed?
Yes.
Disappointed. Yes. Anyone, we'll start with excitement. Is anyone excited?
Yeah.
Yeah? I think it's going to be crazy.
It's
going to
be crazy.
The site's going to be...
But there's going to be a down right after that that's going to last forever. But if we had the movie in July and then we had the book November or early next year or summer next year, then we could really hype it up. I was very sad, I must say, when they said it was July 21st.
You told the story.
Yeah, let's not talk about that.
Basically, Jamie was confident that... I don't remember. Exactly.
So confident that it wasn't going to come out that I said I eat 50 sausages. It then did come out.
I'm talking about your discussion with Ben the night before.
I was talking to Ben the night before and he said, look, trust me on this, I know these things, it will not come out July. And then the next day, about 10 hours later, it was like, JKR announced a huge July release plans. And Ben's, you know.
So, alright, disappointment. You gotta be excited. There's gotta be excitement with you guys, right?
Yeah, excitement is mixed with a bit of like, I mean, I thought it was going to come out in 2008, and now it's ending. I don't want it to end, because I don't want to read it.
And I mean, even though we have the movies afterwards, Harry Potter will be over, you know, because it's like moving on again, because that is a big R.
I try to look on the upside, because people always ask me, how long are you going to be able to keep doing this podcast for? And I tell them, well, movie 7's not going to be out until I think it's projected to be 2011. So, of course, the podcast still has a lot of time left in there.
Unless
we just get bored of it, then we'll just cut it off. But
I'm going to do a game.
Another game?
Yeah, I'm going to do a game.
I'm going to do best micro impression.
Okay.
So if anyone would like to come up here and talk about the news, come up now.
Can anyone do a good Micah impression? We usually impersonate him
all the time. Yeah.
What you don't see on the show is I'll go, okay, let's go. Well, let's go to Micah for the best. We stop here about who's Micah, and either Ben or Jamie will go.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Jamie. Then
news. Harry Potter news.
And then we usually make some vulgar joke, and then they go
back to you, Andrew.
Yeah, then,
stuff like that. So all right, someone's going to do a micro impression, and we have what do we have for that? A tie and a scarf, and they're very nice. The ties are very nice. So let's go.
Yeah.
Over there.
First, just jump.
Oh my God.
Nice.
Spider-Man coming up there.
So what is it?
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, well,
thanks,
Harry Potter.
Another
news.
Harry Potter news. Say a story.
Thanks, Andrew.
Take two more, then we'll
take a call.
I think Ben is very good at impersonating people. He can do you very well. I can't really impersonate me. He just doesn't mean that.
Hi, everybody. My name really is Micah.
Really?
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
You win automatically.
That's all right. That's my Micah impression.
What?
Again. Oh, just being him. Staying there and being him. Nice. One more. Bye.
There you go. Thanks, Andrew.
Cheering things going on.
Good, okay.
First impression? Second impression?
Clap yourself. And third impression. Clear winner over there.
I don't know if people would understand this one. Are Kevin impressions?
They're too hard.
No. No. Windows 3.1. This
Okay, we're going to have a main discussion now because we think, well, this is an issue that...
What? He switched the colors he wanted to get.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think this is big. When we were planning this, Andrew was like, you can't bring this up again. It's, you know, it's been done to death, and it has been done to death, but, you know, everyone has views on this, so should Harry and Ginny get back together? Obviously, it's a huge thing in Half-Blood Prince. You know, Ginny's like, I knew you were going to say that, and Harry's, I can't take you with. Some people think he's being, you know, careless. He thinks he's putting too much say on what he has to do. Other people think he's being, you know, the perfect gentleman saying, I can't bring you with because I've got this huge task to do. What do people think?
He wasn't going to take Ginny to the Ministry of Magic or Luna and that lot, but she still came along and still held her own and stuff, so...
Yeah, I mean, and you can't ignore the fact that, you know, these people are helpful in this battle, you know. Harry can't, however good he is, he can't take on every single person, you know. But, yeah. At the back?
You can't stop love.
Aww. Aww.
Aww.
She's
just going
to end up dying.
It's a fair point, it really is.
Harry
should be the same for Ginny. Yeah.
And
of course, Voldemort
died the first time,
he died
the second time.
Yeah.
By that time, Harry would have
sort of caught
up to this, and Voldemort would have died forever.
And then Harry and Ginny will walk into the sunset.
I don't
know.
That's not bad.
I don't know.
He said something like he didn't want Hermione or Ron to come with him. He wasn't as strong with it, but they're still going to come along. So I don't
yeah,
see
they
why
will
Ginny
now,
should.
Yeah.
I don't see why Ginny. She's forceful and she's going to put a battle
with that, yeah.
I think when you think about it, I think Ginny's almost lost her life once to Voldemort, and I think coupling that with the fact she is a very good fighter and very sort of very good and happy in her being, I think she'll come along as well. And we've seen even from the first book that Harry's nothing without his friends.
But do you think it's pushing her luck? You know, she's obviously Chamber of Secrets was huge when, you know, she went into this. She could easily have died there. Do you think her going with the Gen is pushing her luck and sort of, you know?
I think I see it sort of separate parts. I see it one part it'll be Harry and Ginny, it'll be another part it'll be the original three.
Yeah,
that's how I see it.
Good. Yeah.
And also, there's something else that's supporting that Harry shouldn't die. I mean, because he's not. I don't think Ginny's gonna come along with him to fight with the Horcruxes. But when he comes back, then they'll get back together, and
yeah.
then they'll have something to celebrate.
Nice. Over there.
I think Ginny's she doesn't only like want to kill Voldemort for the fact that, you know, he killed her people, and the fact that he wants to kill her boyfriend. But she also hates him because of what he did to her. He basically wrecked her entire first year at school. Come on, first year at school, that's not what you want, actually. And so she's got a personal grudge against him. And also, how many fanfics has anyone read, like, those 7 Horcruxes or the end of the story thing? The person didn't immediately get Harry and
Ginny
back together
when the
first
sort of kind of
yeah.
Yeah.
People just really
wanted
to be together,
I think. Yeah. Well, he needs some love now, you know, it's everything's death.
Yeah.
So, like, the whole basis of Harry Potter is on love. So surely Harry should have people around him who he loves to be able to defeat Voldemort, to have the power of the people who loves who love him.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's been explored implicitly with, you know, the power that he has, but I think it has to be explored explicitly, and it has with Harry and Cho and, you know, Ron and Lavender, which was just disgusting. yeah, so I think, you know, Harry has to get something.
I think it's going to be kind of similar to that thing, like, when Harry met Sirius, he, like, had this, like, brilliant friendship with him, like, started, and then just as he started to get the name of the bloke, he died. I think it's going to be pretty similar with Ginny, just as he's got in this kind of relationship with her. I think she's going to die, and it's got that... there's this huge deal made of her having red hair, and Lily's got red hair. And Lily's green eyes, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Ginny's got green eyes, doesn't she? So it's like a big deal. Anyway, she has red hair. It sounds freakishly like Ginny is going to do a Lily and die for Harry.
On the question of eyes, quickly, I have a trivia question. First person to shout out gets a book. What colour are Sirius's eyes?
Grey.
Oh, you have one as well.
Clean it up.
Yeah, cleaning up the prices. Yeah. Okay, back to discussion there.
If basically Harry and Ginny are really ordinary Phoenix and in the real place, Molly and Sirius are arguing about what Harry should know. Molly says Harry's as good as the sun. If Harry and Ginny really did get married, he basically would be a son. Plus, if Robin and Harry get married, they're basically a family.
That kind of angered me, though, when she said that, you know, she's basically my son. I think she was really undermining what Sirius did, because it isn't his fault he got, you know, thrown in Azkaban. I think that he just wanted the chance to be Harry's dad, really, because, you know, James was gone. I thought it was a bit mean of her.
The whole, you know, there's something worse than death. That's like something that's going to happen to Harry. That's going to be Ginny dying, and then he's going to do a Anakin Skywalker and go really, really evil and be able to kill Voldemort.
Force grip him in his thing. Stop
there. I think that if Harry can get killed, it'll be far too predictable. And even though it's built up for the books, it's far too much of a cheesy ending for the Harry Potter books. And another thing is that if Ginny dies, and Harry will avenge her death using that love that he has for her, and that's a better use of the love than just going, I'm going to kiss you, Voldemort, and kill you. So if Harry and Ginny don't get killed, that'll leave so many opportunities for slash writers.
But how much does he actually like her? Because, you know, he liked Cho as well, so he liked both of them, but to what extent does he love her?
This isn't my theory, but my friend has a theory that it's a love potion, because when he doesn't really start liking her until he smells her and feels bliss, and she was thinking about buying a love potion at Fred and George's shop. Then, well, she has this amazing long theory that took her about an hour and a half to explain, that's jazz.
It's like in Pokemon, when they have...
Come get a t-shirt.
I like where you're going.
Ash is has back here, and Missy, the one that, like, they think they were going to get to the, not until, like, after ages, she has, like, red hair. And like, I think that J.K. Rowling watches a lot of Pokemon. She watches a lot of it, so she obviously get this idea that the black kid should be with the ginger girl, and we should.
Do people like the Pokemon references?
No,
no, you don't. We get a couple complaints, but I find them amazing because they're spot on.
Who'd have thought Harry Potter and Pokemon?
I know.
Well, I think Harry has had feelings for Ginny from probably close to the beginning, but not necessarily noticed them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's been a part of his life as long as Ron has, almost. I mean, he met her right in the very beginning, and she's always been there, sort of lurking in the background. Even when he was obsessed with Cho, he still. You know, he always had this sort of awareness of Ginny there, and it isn't just until, you know, after he's already got rid of this infatuation with Cho that he starts to finally realize the feelings that he's already been developing throughout all these years already.
For Ginny, yeah. At the back?
I think that, when Harry and Ginny first met, and Harry was too much shy, and Harry didn't sort of know what to do, it didn't stop her from getting
in the second book. So I think that we're undermining how much power that Jenny has. Also, I don't think it's right that Harry should die virgin.
Who can possibly come after that?
Right to the back.
It wouldn't be JKR to mess around with, like, Ginny, because she's part of the Weasley family. So if Harry didn't love Ginny, then JKR wouldn't do that.
Right, sorry, the back.
So I think that they're going to get together, but then Harry's going to do the whole, like, no, you shouldn't come with me, with the break off, and then she'll follow him anyway. And maybe, like, Voldemort will do that, I can't kill a woman.
I
think Harry has really been underestimating Ginny with, like, oh, you can't come to danger. And when they meet at the wedding, then it's been building up for so long.
The wedding, yeah. It'd be a nice place to build up a little bit more.
Link hands suddenly.
Jane can catch the bouquet.
Yeah.
That's
true.
They're 5 minutes, so.
But do you think he loves her because he has to have someone to love? He has to, you know.
I think he absolutely loves her, and it's been building up for so long.
Yeah.
I think that because I think Voldemort's like really unhappy with bad things that he doesn't love, and he's only got like everyone else. He has some of them, because I think Harry has the power to love, so all his people, all his friends should kind of work together, and that is what will get rid of Voldemort in the end, whereas Voldemort's just kind of alone on his own.
But isn't the point that he can't love, which is why love can be so, you know, deadly against him? Yeah.
And you see like a big frenzy battle between like Harry and Voldemort, and they're going so crazy at it, and then Ginny's the one that pulls Harry back, and then Voldemort, you know, kind of destroys, and it's kind of
like the Witch King in Return of the King, you know.
She stabs the dagger into his leg.
I would love to see that.
Ever there? Go ahead.
Yeah, you know how in the first book, when they save Hermione from the troll, and it says that you can't go through something like this without liking a person? Well, it's kind of like in the second book, when he saves her from Basilisk, maybe they couldn't have gone that together without, gone through that together without being some sort of connection. Maybe the fact that he loves her so much, maybe he can use her wand to defeat Voldemort, because their love enhances the power of the wand, and that's how he can defeat him without using his own wand.
That's very interesting. I like that.
Yes. Like that?
Surely it's not necessarily the fact that he does love her and doesn't love her. Maybe it's the fact that he has the capacity to love her. So, I mean, they haven't been going out for very long in the book, and he breaks off, even Snape knows that they're going out, so he has no
But is it him being selfless saying, you can't come with her, is he being, you know,
he's being immature.
Boy,
he's still got to learn, you can't push someone away from you.
Yeah.
And if he does love her, then, you know, that's going to overrule any of his still mature feelings.
Also, Voldemort can still get to her just because he isn't with him the entire way, you know, and he knows now that they, you know, love each other, so.
I just don't see there being much time for a relationship to develop in the book. Maybe something could happen in the wedding to sort of tease everyone into thinking that something will happen, but, like, when's there going to be time for that? Harry's so focused on the battle, too. And, I mean, maybe the love could come from fighting and Ginny playing an integral role. But.
Anyone else? Yeah.
Yeah, Pokemon reference, no rings. One of the rings reference, we have, like, a kind of Harry, Aragorn, Ginny, he goes off, epilogue, has a little come to back. Something like that. But also, I think that because of the whole, I'm really, it's really important that the people he saved the life of, like Arthur Weasley, Ginny Weasley, technically Ron and Hermione, are going to be there for him when he needs them. But even if he has to do the last chamber on his own kind of thing.
Well, just another thought. Do they now owe life debts to Harry?
Yeah, I don't think it's so much as that. I just think it's like a joining of their soul. I don't think that it should be seen like, you've got to save my life now. But I mean, if you're thinking like the number of people around him, like, sorry, I've got the overzealous arm movements, which is not going to work. Anyway, But if you think about the amount of people, if he needs to be strengthened in some way, he's got all of these people who have this bond to his soul through him saving their life, and Voldemort's just got, like, a cup maybe left over or something. I'm just thinking, like, he's going to be, obviously, you know, he's weakened his soul anyway because it's been broken up, but Harry's had, like, these buttresses put in by all these people who saved their lives.
Mm-hmm. And do you think they're going to sort of psych him up for the final battle, and, you know, he'll think of all the people he's...
I think they're going to score. They're going to be his corner. There's going to be a film shield.
And
they're
going to
be
on his shoulders, yeah. Nice. Anyone else?
Two.
Are we done on the theory discussion?
In the last one, I think, because there's kind of parallels between with the fourth and the centre and then parallels between the two. So at the first one, it was Harry, Ron and Hermione just as the three, so it kind of follows that the last one would just be them as the three with not enough to working together.
Pretty good.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Overall, though, what's your final thought? We'll do final thoughts.
I don't know. I don't want to think that he's so, you know, selfless that he's going to die an unhappy man because of that, because the only people he think about are everyone else and not himself. But they obviously want to be together, and, you know, I don't know if Jo is so mean that she is going to keep them apart when they should definitely be together. And, you know, she has a creative license on this, so if she brings them together, she can still sort it out so they, you know, beat Voldemort. So I'd like them to get back together.
I just think how it's going to play out in book 7 is that maybe we'll get some sort of tease in the beginning, and that throughout the entire book, there's going to be little hints of maybe like, oh, they met eyes and, I don't know, something happens. But I think what might ultimately happen is that Ginny will help Harry in the final battle, or Ginny will come close to death, Harry will save her, or maybe vice versa. Something like that.
Fair enough. Now we have one more game, a best British joke of the day.
Which we ended at the beginning.
So, yeah, we did. Yeah. So, does anyone have any jokes?
Because Jamie's, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but Jamie's sort of been lacking on the show when it comes to British jokes. British jokes. And we sort of retired the Dumbledore Norris facts for now, because we sort of ran dry of those.
Yeah, we did. Nice t-shirt.
Yeah, nice. Very nice.
There you go.
Thanks. How much does it cost to go to buy a ticket for the Quidditch World Cup?
How much?
Yeah, money.
Quidditch.
You use documentary, that doesn't count. Yeah, that's right.
Nice. Next one. Did you say you had one over there? Yeah.
Just that British.
No, they're never actually
British.
That,
but they never are.
It's just
an
English accent on the show.
British joke, anyway.
It came up in, you know, a British guy made it up, an English guy.
It is all kinds of names.
Really?
Somebody talked to me and I was helpless, so I'm passing it on. What's ET short for? Because he's only got little legs.
Oh, I get it.
Say it one more time.
Say it one more time.
One more time.
Yeah.
What's ET short for?
Oh, okay, I get it.
I've only got little legs.
Nice. Let's do one more.
Okay,
wrap up.
No. Yes.
enthusiastic.
Yeah.
Okay. What's brown and sticky? A stick.
Thank you.
It's lame.
Let's move vote. Oh, should we have one more?
Sure.
Can I shout?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Leanne rhymes. No, it doesn't.
I like that one. Okay, let's move vote for the first one. Clap.
Yeah, what was it?
Oh, yeah, it was... the British World Cup one. Like the Harry Potter reference, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, for the second one, which was...
Girl with the...
E.T. And the third one, which was...
Stick.
Over the stick.
I like that, actually.
And the Leanne Rimes one, which it doesn't. E.T. Good, your prizes down here. Okay, we're just going to take some general questions now. Anything Harry Potter show related, and then we're going
to
wrap it up.
News,
so,
if anyone
wants
to talk about some recent news. I mean, there's really been a lot going on lately in the Harry Potter world.
Mm-hmm.
You can take both.
Yeah, so if anyone has any Harry Potter questions, any theory related questions, any what's going to happen, book release, podcast related, anything. Thank you there. Over there.
I've always been wondering, someone made a Star Wars reference earlier on, saying, will Harry sort of like get darker in his quest to beat Voldemort? Voldemort's got all these weapons like Vada Kedavra and all these really powerful crests, and Harry hasn't really got any weapon like skulls to kill. So in the quest to kill Voldemort, what do you think Harry will like use dark spells maybe?
Well, is that why he has to have that power other than magic? Because Dumbledore says in Half-Blood Prince that it'll take uncommon skill to kill Voldemort, you know, when even after he's got rid of all the Horcruxes.
Harry does have uncommon skill, though.
No, but he doesn't. He's a 16-year-old unqualified wizard. The uncommon skill is the love, though.
All right. He's uncommon talent.
Yeah.
It seems like. But I don't know. I don't think dark magic. I just think that that's not Harry.
He can use it, though. He's used Sextus Emperor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Over there.
I don't think Sextus Emperor really counts as dark magic in the same way as because when he used it,
he didn't know
what
it was.
He didn't know what it was, and it still worked. Whereas if you try to use our forbidden spells, they won't work unless you actually mean it.
Which we see in the Ministry of Magic. Yeah.
He couldn't use Crucio probably. He hates Matrix, but he just couldn't do it properly.
Yeah, and didn't she say that it's anger that he's got, whereas you have to actually want to cause the pain.
He's more filled up with love than anger.
Yeah.
And he's more of like this love fighter person, so he can't really destroy easily something.
I don't want to say he's too nice, but he just doesn't have the heart to kill.
I think he can kill. I mean, this is obviously a big subject. Can he kill Voldemort? Can he? Does he have it in him, or is it just going to happen? And because he has to do it.
Yeah. But I think enough anger has built up inside of him where it could lead to, where it's just Harry and Voldemort in wherever it's going to be, the final battle. And he would just have enough anger and frustration and all those years of all the pain and hardships he's gone through to be able to kill Voldemort.
Just then?
Maybe that's where Ginny comes in. Voldemort kills Ginny, and that's when he gets the anger.
Oh! Ma'am, good point.
I like that. But is it anger that's going to bring him through?
Well, if that'd be his
love
for Ginny,
that
wouldn't
be her. Turns into his anger.
Mm-hmm. Following on from that point, when Dumbledore was killed, Harry lost it completely and chased after Snape as hard as he could.
Yeah.
And that could be a foreshadowing of
And also, you have to take in that, all the people close to him have died. First it was Sirius, obviously, then Dumbledore, and then, they've killed his godfather, his protector, his, father figure, and then they kill his girlfriend as well. Be one angry person.
Hey, you got a family relative, and you have your mentor, and then what would come next? I guess a lot. In the story, of course, his parents.
In the back.
Didn't Bellatrix say that just to be righteously angry wasn't enough?
Yeah.
So if he's only angry because he has the right to be angry. So.
Well, so you mean like it has to come from outside? It has to be love that forces the anger on him, and then he can kill.
Bellatrix called him out in that battle in Order of the Phoenix, didn't he? So she.
Back to that, the love causing the anger. Dumbledore was saying that Harry doesn't actually have to follow the prophecy, but as long as Voldemort's following it, he has to. And they basically get into talking that even if Harry didn't want to kill Voldemort, he would in the end because of the anger, because he loved the people.
Yeah.
So again, it's gonna be the whole love being the weapon that helps him use Avada Kedavra or whatever it is to kill him.
And also going on from there, Dumbledore says that. Sorry, I just get this point. I've forgotten then. Anyway, go on.
I don't think he was
gonna
kill him with Avada Kedavra or with any of the forbidden curses.
But awesome. He can't.
He's going to kill him with love. It doesn't even necessarily mean he's going to kill him. He's going to destroy him with love. That doesn't necessarily mean he's going to have to get angry or use one of these killing curses. It could be something else about his love that is going to end up destroying Voldemort because it's something he can't comprehend, something he can't bear to be near.
But as you were saying, he can't kill him with his wand, can he, with a curse? Because
exactly.
it'll backfire against him. So I think it has to come down to
love. I think it's going to be something else that's not going to have anything to do with any of the three killing curses.
Yeah.
He won't have to be angry for it.
Over
there. And he has the power of Dark Lord, and it's not underlined. It's not going to be dark magic or blunt magic or anything so cliche as that, because Voldemort knows all about that. It has to be like love and something from his heart.
But
and something Voldemort can't do to be able to kill Voldemort.
How can you kill someone with love, though? You can't. It's like it has to project itself onto something else, isn't it?
That's what Joe's going to come up with, and it's going to be beautiful.
I have a
Fruity
Friday Basically,
Freaky Friday.
What did you say?
Freaky Friday.
Oh, when
the
movie.
A reference.
Wow, we're getting some comparisons
today.
Yeah, that's it. Basically, they don't know what it's like to be each other. Like, Harry doesn't know what it's like to be very, very powerful and very dark, as Lord Voldemort doesn't know what it's like to love. So what if they, like, sort of went to Japanese, Chinese restaurant somewhere and
Over dinner. Candlelight.
Yeah.
So, why are you so mean?
It's like a guy
why are you so nice?
Pure mediator.
Yeah.
Nice to meet one.
Be awesome. There.
You said, you know when Voldemort can't possess Harry, what about Harry tries to possess Voldemort and his soul can't cope with that love?
Oh, and then he explodes. So I want that to happen. Love that.
Sort of following on from that, I've heard a lot of people talk about the fact that the first book, if it stood on its own, had to encompass the story that Joe wanted to tell. So, thinking about that, Harry in that book defeated Voldemort by touching him, was the love.
Yeah.
And as you said, how can you kill someone with love? Well, in that case, that was...
That demonstrated it,
Another point I wanted to make, actually, regarding the Sorting Hat, actually, there's a few key phrases that it uses in the first book. Made some notes.
That's awesome.
It says, there's nothing hidden in your heads that I can't see. Now, that, taken in context, is to do with sorting students into their houses.
Yeah.
Taken out of context, it, almost in the way a pensive can be used to see through the dots, could the Sorting Hat be used to see, some people have suggested, back to Godric's Hollow, you know, seeing his memories from that. Also, it says, I can tell you where you should be. Again, in context.
It means
the
house, yeah.
But out of context, how much more can it tell about someone?
Yeah.
And then finally it says, Slytherin will help you on the way to greatness before it's decided which house to put him in. And that seems it should be Slytherin would help you on the way to greatness if you were in Slytherin, but it says will.
And also,
That's quite definite.
I was going to say, just from that, you know, if you take Slytherin will help you on your way to greatness, obviously in context it means the house, but it could be a sort of metaphor for somebody from Slytherin, Draco maybe, something like that in the end.
Or even just Draco's the powers that he's got from Slytherin through Voldemort.
Yeah.
So,
it's very interesting.
Yeah.
Well, right at the end of HP, basically Snape is... run away, so people say, well, maybe Dumbledore asked Snape to kill him or something. This is something big, but I'm not going to go with that. But basically, at the end of it, instead of just sort of knocking Harry out and running away, which I think would kind of be like your priority if you just kill like the world and sort of love figure, Snape tells Harry to keep his head clear and not to use unforgiving verses. Kind of, so it's kind of maybe there's something in that that you shouldn't use, like Crucio or Adam, whatever, you can find something else that maybe you can use.
Yeah.
I know something has been discussed no end, but is it at all possible that Harry just doesn't kill him, he saves his life, and by that kills him in some way, then it leaves Harry open, like in chess, to be killed by Voldemort, but trying to kill him actually kills him because he himself has had his own life saved by.
Yeah.
Love that he has inside him or something, and he can't touch Harry because he has open.
But is it possible for Voldemort to turn back, or is he so far down the path of evil?
Maybe it'll be like a kind of tough moment. But kind of like, oh, too late.
Like it.
It's Snape, like, really clever.
Yeah.
And he like really stupid. Because you've got Snape reading one of his prized possessions, a book, in the potions cupboard. But anyone in the future could take it and use the spells
against them. Yeah. So then you've got Snape thinking, oh, I'm going to leave, but there's a Harry thing again because he thinks that I'm a teacher, so he won't buy the book. Yeah. So he's going to need that book. So he'll leave him to teach himself the Voldemort. It's a very interesting point, and if people want, I mean, after this, we're going to wrap a show, but if you want to have an Is Snape good or bad discussion, we're happy to do that as well.
Some final, what was the original question here? I don't remember. We just started going off into tangents.
Back.
Maybe Voldemort won't die, but he'll get his soul sucked out by a Dementor. Because it says that it's worse than death. And Voldemort deserves something that's worse than death. And what's worse than Voldemort than getting his soul sucked out? He doesn't have much of it left anyway.
He doesn't, it's true.
He gets his soul sucked out by the Dementor, so it's supposedly working for him. But what if he can't control them anymore, and they just suck his soul out? And that would be a way of getting the rest of the Horcrux pieces out of objects, and then out of Voldemort, and that means Harry won't have to be blood for that one. Or any other sort of love, and he won't be like a Care Bear, and he won't be like a magic, the love power. And maybe he'll just get himself sucked straight out of his body, and then he'll just be a random useless snake-droid body.
And also, as you say, Dumbledore has always said there are things worse than death. And Lupin, when he in Prisoner of Azkaban, when he's talking to Harry about, you know, the Dementor's kiss, he actually says that they're worse than death. I think, you know, it isn't being killed; it's a lot worse than that. So, very interesting.
My friend has a theory about an inferior / Dementor crossbreed kind of thing, and basically, what do you think?
What? You go. Inferior what?
Inferior and Dementor crossbreed.
Is there anything to back that up, or is it? Or
you just had to back that up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not saying anything about your theory, but when people say my friend has a theory, is it really that you have a theory? There seems to be an awful lot of friends who have theories.
Theoretically, hypothetically.
Going with like the Darth Vader idea, maybe like Harry will like lose all the wands, he'll be like defenseless, so he'll just give himself up.
Yeah.
And then Voldemort's like, I can't do it, I'm your
mom, lost cousin. And he'll pick him up and throw him down the thing. Just like, Star Wars.
Yeah. Alright, we'll take a couple more.
Two more questions?
Random question.
I know this is really random, but I think
my
friend was talking about the whole locket thing. And lockets are sort of, you know, to keep pictures of people in. And a heart would symbolise someone you love in the locket. I mean, whether the actual locket have a picture of someone who might be something to do with Voldemort in it. Someone he loves, or he left, maybe.
What, and that's like the big secret, that he has the capacity to love. It's not bad.
Alright, one more question.
Just
three more, because
it's...
Do you think Percy will redeem himself?
It's such a tough issue.
We'll see him at the wedding. It'll be awkward. It'll be awkwardly over in the corner.
Do you think they're going to use him to get to with the stranger in the
pantry? Well, I think he's evil.
No, he's not evil.
Are they
going
to, like, you know, maybe his apologies potion impersonate and try and get to trade that way? That's what
I don't know. What do people think?
They would get caught, though. That
is Percy a misguided soul or a nasty piece of work?
He's very stubborn, yeah.
He
just needs to pull the stick out of his, you know what?
Yeah. The back.
I don't think JKR can actually redeem everyone in the books, because it's
yeah.
not like a fairy tale. Not everyone's good. There are people in the world that are just nasty people, and people that are just out for themselves. And maybe Percy's just one of those people in the world that you don't really like that exist. If Snape's going to be redeemed, if Snape Draco's going to be redeemed, there's not going to be enough time in that book to have a third person redeemed when he's not that important to the story.
It's true.
I think if it came down to it, that, like, you know, that if another member of his family was threatened by somebody else, person step in and try and stop it, like any of the Weasleys, even if he's a bit of a... anyone close to me kind of...
One of those.
That was like... Yeah,
that,
I think that he would, like,
even though
he's, yeah, being a bit
formal,
he'll step back in.
He won't
necessarily have to redeem, just know
that he would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have a question?
Yeah, I was going to bring it back to Snape again, because I just remember this theory that I had, which I really should have said earlier, when someone mentioned the thing about Snape leaving the book. How much does that sound like Voldemort leaving the diary? He's, like, created this name for himself, and he's, like... He doesn't. I don't know about the thing about why he wouldn't kill Harry. I know he says it's for Voldemort and everything, but he's got this whole thing working for Voldemort and Dumbledore. And even though there's that whole debate about whether Dumbledore's leading to be killed or not to be killed, I think Snape's kind of working for himself. I mean, you've got Grindelwald, and then Dumbledore killed him. It's Voldemort, Harry's killing him, and now Snape's rising out of the ashes, you know? He's going to take over.
Okay. And he's extremely clever, Snape, as well. And, you know, I'm sure no
yeah.
one can deny that he's one of the cleverest characters.
Made up his own spells when he was like...
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah. How do you make up a spell? You just say words until something happens. Hold it out 2 years. Is that?
Yeah.
Because I always run the sort of Machiavellian thing on like MuggleNet. It's kind of about a whole, there's a guy, a general called Severus in Machiavellian, sort of big book thing.
Prince.
And so he eventually overthrows like the good person and the bad person and becomes some top person thing.
I mean,
so
yeah.
Maybe that's what Snake's after, he wants to be like the top person, so he's sort of manipulating.
He's a kind of general as well, though.
Yeah.
He's high up. Whichever side he's on, he's high up. He's either almost Dumbledore's right-hand man or he's Voldemort's right-hand man, whatever it is. That's why he's so important.
Should we just take a poll to see if Snape good or bad? Just
okay, yeah.
I mean, we, you know, this could be debated.
Hands up. Is Snape good?
Sorry?
Can we have it in between?
You can abstain from voting.
Yeah. Snape is good. This is everyone for Snape is good.
Good.
It's probably
and bad?
In between?
In between.
Snape is good, overwhelming.
Yeah. Don't know.
Should we wrap it up?
Yeah, I think we will.
Okay. Huh? No, we're good. Downstairs. Okay, we're going to thank you for everyone for coming. It's been absolutely brilliant. I hope you've enjoyed it. We're going to take a 5-minute break. We're going to move downstairs and hopefully see you all and meet you all. And then right at the end, we're going to raffle off this thing. Should be quite nice.
And give away some t-shirts. Yeah,
we've
got a ton of
t-shirts.
We're going
to take them home.
I can't see
So, I mean, if you just go down there, it is... I don't know, but you'll find it. It's in about 5 minutes.
It's on the ground floor.